My name is Nancy DeLette, and I'm speaking with Anna Walsh.
Yes.
On Thursday, June 26, 1986. You're beginning this interview at 1:15.
I am very well known as Anne.
Okay. Anne Walsh. We're about to interview Mrs. Walsh about her immigration experience from Ireland in 1922.
That's great.
This is interview number 200.
Could you take me back to the beginning of your story?
Oh, yeah. I remember more about that than anything.
Tell me when you were born.
I was evidently born the 2nd of September. And you told me the year, I think. What year did you tell me?
Oh, I don't remember. You tell me.
Well, I have a little problem there because I was very young to be let go alone. Mm-hmm. Some other added a few years to my age, you see, mm-hmm. and I have had a problem ever since with that. Mm-hmm. I should have given the correct one earlier, but I followed up on what my mother told me. But we were six children, and my oldest sister went to convent school in Dublin. And we had a wonderful father and mother. It was a place that was inherited for generations. Now, my great-grandfather spoke six languages, but I never found out where did he learn those languages. But when we were very little, well, we had two men that worked for us, and one of their names was James Gillick. And they tried to teach the baby, I was the baby, to say James Skillick. But I couldn't say, I call him Beggy Gick. And as I got older, when he'd meet me on the road or at a dance or something, he'd say, hello, Beggy Nan. But I enjoyed my life and I liked school. We had to walk a long way to school. And I wasn't able to continue because I was a child who was always looking for trouble. And we had a large place, and a tributary of the Shannon River run through our place. Now, the Shannon River is the largest river in the British Isles, and it originated in Cavan, and that's the county I was born in, County Cavan, near the border of the north. When I was 8 years old, my father died, and I was so fond of my daddy that I cried for days. I couldn't realize about death. I didn't understand it. And when a person dies in Ireland, the wake is held at home, and there's always that extra room where they're laid out in. And when the friends come after the dead person's laid out, they pray for the evening, they say the rosary and prayers, and then they're taken to the parlor and given tea or coffee is served to them. Well, I'm trying to think back to this. I said it was 8 years, yeah, so I more or less realized that he was gone. So my grandmother moved in with us, and I became very attached to her. There's a little story to this. When she died, she was laid out in this special room, and I was a year then when she died, a year and 1 month. And during the evening when they were having their tea, I disappeared. And they went looking for me, and there were several houses outside, one for the chickens and one for the ducks, you know, and all various ones. They still couldn't find me. So one lady went in and went to the room where my grandmother was laid out. And on the table there was lighted candles. But she went to look at the corpse, and she saw two little hands wrapped around my grandmother's neck. I had gone in with her, and I was sleeping with her. And they told me that a lot of times afterwards. But when I was maybe about 11, I liked very much to get on a horse's back and ride them. I was quite young when I rode them. But this horse was being broken in by these men that were hired with us. He was being broken in for to carry a wagon. And I thought I'd slip into the back of the wagon so they wouldn't see me. And the horse went up in the air, jumped, you know, up, and he was into the wagon. I was thrown. And they didn't notice me. They went on with the wagon a mile or two. But when they come back, I still was lying on the ground where I had a head injury. Well, when it come to time to go back to school, I was at the time bright in my class, but not anymore. Things would move all around, and they had to take me out of school then. And that was, I was 11, and I never got back. But I had such a love of reading. And my uncles, my mother's brothers, all went to Australia. Only one brother, he came here and he became a priest. We have seven priests in the family. Well, anyhow, he became a priest. And of course, I grew up, and Mary Ann, the one in Dublin, Mary Ann, came to this country. And she wrote then for Margaret, and Margaret came after her. And then about 4 or 5 years later, I came.
Why had your sisters left?
The what, honey?
Why had your sisters left?
The oldest sister left. No, because you see, don't forget, we didn't have father anymore. And when you were a farmer, you have to be able to sell and buy. So mother found it very hard. She never knew anything about selling or buying. So Minnie came so she could send money to mother.
Did your mother grow up the farm?
Yeah, oh yes.
What kind of farm was it? What did you grow?
It's a farm that raise a lot of vegetables, and of course cattle and sheep. All sorts of cattle and sheep. I'm much of a farmer's daughter, I know it's a little bit. But, lots of chickens and turkeys and geese and ducks. All of these, sometimes at night I'd have to bring them home. If they didn't come home, I'd have to go and get them. And when I went one time for the ducks, there was two missing. And I came home, and I was very upset about the two ducks. But the next day when I went, I found they had made houses. I guess this isn't of interest.
Oh, no, it is. Please, yes. No, she's just checking because of the machine. Go ahead.
The ladies' room is right back there.
It's okay.
Have to go. But anyhow, these
two ducks were missing.
They left the other ducks. I used to have to go to the river, the one that was a tributary to the Shannon, because the Shannon River, what would you call the start of it, where it started, was in by the foot of the mountain near our home. And I had great, great interest in things on the farm. And the books, again, my uncle in Australia, St. B. Manny, and my two uncles in England, I had the whole library when I went to leave. But that was my schooling. It was hard when I first come. But when I first come, Margaret was an infant nurse. She had taken training for infants. And the family was expecting the second baby. And then the two little girls, Nevie and Abby, would have to have a nurse. And Margaret thought when I'd come that she could help to train me. And would you like to hear the name of the people?
Yes.
Rockefellers. So I had Neve and Abby for a couple of years and loved the two of them. So I did have a beginning. I stayed 2 weeks with my sister. But that'll be going away ahead. I'm going on to the ship, and when I landed, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Well,
anything else you can tell me about life on the farm and before you came?
You'd like that.
Mm-hmm. Were you near a market town?
No, there were quite a distance. Mm-hmm. That boxer that came over from Ireland recently, our hometown is where he come from. But life on the farm is very pleasant for children. And my brother inherited the place. We all went to a lawyer's office and signed all the papers so that he could get it. So it's still in the family. And just recently, the little girl wrote to me. Her name is Olivia. And she's famous for a singing voice she's got. But most of the family were, but I wasn't. I wasn't a bit musical. So she wrote to me and she told me she sings in the choir. Now this is going way on, so I better go back and get it straight.
How old were you when your sisters thought it would be good for you to come to
America? To this country? Well, at that time I was 14. And one of them, Margaret, came home and she tried to tell me that I'd like it here. But the last thing in the world I wanted was to come here. You know, to leave home. But she kept telling me I'd like it.
What did she say about it? To try to
this country?
You to come?
Well, she had started with this training, infant training in some hospital. That was her beginning. But she had my oldest sister ahead of her. And she wanted me to come. Well, she told me that I'd get a nice position here and that if I wanted to go to school at night, that I could do it. And, of course, I'd have to give up everything that I loved over there, you know. And I'd always run to meet the mailman because he'd have another book for me. It really is a great thing to have a longing to read. I'm just as bad today. That poor girl sitting there, and I'm not giving her anything of interest. So I didn't get to town much, only once, I think, or twice. And the next thing that I did, I was down, but I loved to spend my time at the river. Great, I used to make little boats and sail them on the water and do things that I'd enjoy. And this day, Mother told me I was never to go down by the river while she was away. But I did. I went down by the river and I was playing there. And I heard the wagon coming. And I rushed up the hill. I wasn't supposed to run because I took an enlarged heart from the first fall. And I jumped from the top of the fence down. And the farmers had been cutting the hay. And they left all their new sides along there. And I jumped on the side. And I think I killed my mother, things I did. So I crept along the street to the house, and I was leaving such trails of blood in back of me. And I got to the door, poor mother, she opened the door and she said, "Dear God, what are you going to do next?" Mattress. And my uncle went me on the mattress, and my uncle went to town, and the doctor was away. And they got another doctor, Annie, when he come. And my blood was flowing down. The floor inside the car was cement on the kitchen. And there was a lot of iron gates with piers, and it flowed down onto the gate. But when he come, anyhow, poor Bridie, she cried so hard. She was there when it happened. So he put in 110 stitches. Mm. Well, one of my feet looks as though it was just sewed together at the bottom. So, but I never cried. I was a tough little kid.
Mm.
So he put in all the stitches and he told Mother she'd have to bring me to town to get them taken out. He couldn't make it back. And she said, will she ever walk? Oh, he said, someday she'll dance. And then he was telling me a story about Africa, and that's what I wanted. I wasn't watching the stitches at all. He had served with the English army in Africa. I think really they're responsible for the state that Africa is in today and the way they have treated Ireland, but we won't get into that.
So he kept your mind off of the...
But it took me a year for that foot to heal, for to walk. So you see, what interfered with my schooling, it wasn't that I didn't love school, I did. Well, let us see now. That isn't a nice farm story, is it? But I love Christmas. Mother taught me to make a lot of pretty things, and we had lovely, lovely shrubbery. I try so hard here to get it, but... Well, when I come here, there wasn't even a blade of grass, and there was no houses right here. And I loved to drive. I loved to drive then. And I'd bring home little trees and grass seed. Now, Tom couldn't come down. He wasn't old enough to retire for 3 more years. So then I had all the planting, and I loved it. And when they come up, you know, and see them bloom and all, I have about 12, 13 ribbons that I won on the show for violets. Violet. Do you like violets? And now, since I've been ill, no one bothered to water them around things, so I only had one alive, and I gave that to a woman that has been very kind to me, you know, at the hospital and all. In fact, I don't want to go into the hospital now because it would shock you what I went through there. And I wasn't really ill at all. Just was I was brought up there to the hospital because I had fallen and hurt my knee. I fell out of bed. I had a bad dream. And I don't take drink of any kind. Maybe if I had it taken, I wouldn't be hurt.
Just another accident.
Oh, I had lots of them. To them. Well, my husband died in an accident. He's only a young fella. Now, where am I going?
Take me back to the point where your sister is convincing you to come to this country, and you're not interested, really.
Well, I wasn't anxious, you know, and I hated to leave my mother. I was attached to her, you know. And the night before, they gave me a big party, and I loved to dance then. And there was a young fellow that liked me, and I hate to leave him. But there was 2 violins, and it was a really nice party. And early in the season, the cuckoo comes, and my brother come calling me. He was my younger brother, Michael, that the cuckoo was here. And I run upstairs because my window up there was near the tree. See how bad my memory is?
No,
you can't expect me to tell you anything with this memory.
Tell us about the cuckoo then.
The cuckoo comes early, and you love to listen to her because talking about it, you can't get the feeling, the reason that the thrill, the way she can say that cuckoo. And she's lazy. She never builds a nest. She lays all her eggs in the nests of other birds. But still I wanted to hear her before I'd leave. So I went to listen to the cuckoo, and then daylight was coming, and they were still dancing. So most of them said goodbye at the... There was a long, winding lane up to the house. It was a beautiful home. And they came to the end of the lane to say goodbye to me. A lot of people. And then my uncle drove me to the nearest town. And from there I had to get a bus to the train. And I was to meet 2 girls there. They were going in the convent here. I might as well have nobody. I never saw them. They were with the nun, and they stayed, I think, first class or something. Well, I got on the train. I didn't cry much. Cried more when I got to the ship. And I may confuse this with trips that I made. I made 5 trips to Ireland. And
did
I had
bring
all
any of your treasured books with you?
Any of what?
Your treasured books.
Oh, no. I wrote lots of articles. I read some of them and I'm kind of shocked. I didn't think I did that. Mm-hmm. No, I wrote quite a few. And I've written some poems that have become famous. The one when poor Kennedy was shot. I wrote that, and Tom insisted I send it to the White House and to one of the memorial services. And then they wrote to me later, telling me it was sent to the Kennedy Library in Boston. And the Kennedys wrote 3 different letters to me, and Jackie Onassis wrote one. And then this past year, I wrote one about Ireland. I can show them to you.
Yeah, I'd like to hear them.
But,
did you ever write one about coming to this country?
No, but I will if you want it. When do you have all this ready? You have to have it ready soon, don't you?
No, there's plenty of time.
Oh, there is.
Plenty of time.
Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Is your general work with journals?
Okay, hold on. We'll go back to, you were talking about...
When I was little.
Taking the trip to this country.
Oh, yes.
And you had...
Well, the first thing Mother did was send me to a dressmaker. The dressmaker was noted for a beautiful suit she made. So I can just see my suit. It was navy blue. And it was very, very beautiful. And she made me a beautiful pale blue blouse that I wore with it. And then, I don't know what they called them here, but they were smocks. And they were straight with pleats and a belt in the middle. So you can picture what they were. I had one in green and one in dark red, or medium red it was. Beautiful white blouses she made me too. And then, you may not like to hear the ship because it was terrible. God, please imagine what an insult it is to come. And my hair, I had long hair, very light brown, down past my waist, very long. The man, in fact, at Ellis Island that talked to me remarked about it. And he said something, he talked quite a while to me, said something to me. I met a lot of little girls going through here, but he said, I think I like you the best of all of them. Uh-huh. And I said, I wasn't anxious. He said, why? I said, I don't want to get black. He said, what? I said, I saw a black man with black hands and a black face. And I said, he said, why would you worry about that? Because I know, I said, what it is, it's a powerful sun you have in America. And I said, I don't want to get black. So we say, well, that's good. They could say it like that, but they don't feel bad. They feel they were born black, and the sun didn't do it. Isn't it funny? I said, I didn't know that. But he talked quite a while to me, and he said, who's meeting you? But I talk about the ship just a little bit.
Yeah, tell me about the ship. What was the name of it? Do you
remember? I can't. I'm trying to think of. Mm-hmm. I'll call you up if it comes to my mind, but I've just been trying to think of what the name of that ship was.
Where did you get the ship?
What in Queenstown.
I remember. Had you been to Queenstown before?
No. I never was on a train. So when I got on the train at 3, well, it'd be about 4 in the morning, I got on the train. Then I began to feel lonesome. Hmm. And the girls, they might as well not be with me at all. They went back to the convent here. Wouldn't you think they'd be kind a little bit? But they were just with the nun and they didn't talk or anything. Because I was going to be bad, I wasn't a nun. Oh, I thought of it too a few times, but I guess I wasn't made that way. So the ship, you know, I mix this up and tell you, see, I went on ships on 2 of the trips, but they were American and they were beautiful. And we even had swimming pools on. Oh, I had fun. They were lovely. But this was a dread ship I got on. Oh, God, it was terrible. When I went to go to bed at night, something was creeping on the pillow, and there was bugs on the pillow, and the food was perfectly dreadful food. But see, when you grow up on the farm, you have fresh eggs and fresh chickens and all good food.
But you didn't find that, not on the boat?
No, it was terrible on the boat. And at mid-ocean, the storm was so bad, the ship had to stop. We were stopped for 24 hours. But the way the water came over the decks, the deck.
Did you have a cabin where you stayed?
Yeah, it was a cabin, yeah, and there was two other girls with me. And they used to cry. I don't remember crying, but I used to look out through the porthole, look out through the glass at the ocean, you know, and count the days. Oh, God, I was counting the days to get out of there. Well, the food is very bad, and then I became deathly seasick. And in all my trips I made, I never was seasick, only that time coming over.
What time of year was it?
It was the month of May, I believe.
You still have bad weather?
Yeah, oh, terrible weather. But when I got here, it was nice.
Was it a long trip? How many days did it take?
It's 7 or 8 days, I don't know which. I was a little bit lonesome, too, mm-hmm. You know.
Were you frightened?
Probably at time. One night a man scared me. He was an English, and every day he'd stare dressed up fancy, and every day he'd stare at me. And he had this night he came over to him, and he said, Dolly, I want you to come up on deck tonight about 9 o'clock. For what? He said, I want to tell you stories. Well, he told the stories to himself because I didn't go on deck. Although I didn't know too much about men, but I knew enough to keep away from. And finally, a disease broke out. Which you girls did I tell that to?
No, I don't know. Tell us again.
Something broke out on the ship, and it was a skin disease. And one nurse discovered it anyhow. Thank God, I never got it. But anyone that wasn't a citizen, there was lots of Irish there that were going back and were citizens. And they could get off. They supplied them with a boat or whatever it was, a conveyance for the land. But we couldn't get off the ship. So they sent us to a place called Hoffman Island. And you had to go in a room and strip naked. And I nearly died with embarrassment. Strip naked. And the part of it was, I've always, during the years when I was younger, ministrated very heavy. And it was ministrating. And they didn't give you napkins. So then they told us to stand in this room. It was a room that had no ceiling. And they used hoses to hose us down. And one nurse said, you poor little kid, she said to me, this is terrible. But I still thank God I was able to get dressed. But that morning I put on my good suit. I didn't know we were going to be sent to that place.
Oh.
So we got back, Annie, and then the next day they were all dressing nice. We were going to land. But I heard the cheers on deck where they saw, you know, the Statue of Liberty and all that was, oh, it was great. What did they call that island then?
Bedloe Island?
No, where's the Statue of Liberty?
Just near Ellis Island. Yeah.
That's what it is, Ellis Island. Uh-huh. They were cheering, and they were so glad to see part of United States. We were finally here. And it was men at the desks. And then there was a long railing, and relatives that came had to stand on that side of this railing. And then you'd be on the other side, and they'd call for your name. But this man was interviewing me. That was the man I asked about the plaque, you know.
This is the end of side one of interview number 200 with Anna Walsh. This is the beginning of side two of interview number 200 with Anna Walsh.
when the boat came into to Ellis Island, did you say that some of the people were able to get off?
People who had lived in this country and become citizens, and they went home for a trip to see their parents or their old home. And when it come within, I think, 24 hours of landing, they let them get off. They had a boat ready for them. And some of them said goodbye, that I had become friends with, you know. And they were able to get off. Their family was waiting for them. But we had to wait another 24 hours. And then this skin disease broke out. I don't know what you would call it. What are the names of skin disease?
Was it some sort of a rash? Did you see someone that had it?
Yeah, it was. Even the men that were the the crew had it. They may have had it first. Mm-hmm. But everyone, you didn't have to have it. They just sent them all to Hoffman Island. And there they were all put under chemical sprays, which I dreaded the whole thing. And I put on my new suit to land because I thought I was landing. But no, we had to go to this place. I heard this. Then the next, and I run, and they could see Ellis Island, they could see the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, they could see the Statue of Liberty. And what joy that was. A lot of people cried when they think of it now. Wonderful feeling, we were landed in America. And then when we got off, I guess they all had to go to the desk and answer a lot of questions. And he was such a pleasant man that he made me feel welcome.
What did he say to you?
Well, he asked me again how old I was.
And how old were you then?
I was 16. What part of Ireland was I from? And did I have any family to welcome me? And I said, if my sister, not Margaret, she was the nurse, she couldn't meet me, but my older sister, she met me, but she didn't know me. Mm. She couldn't identify me.
Because you had grown so much.
Oh, sure. I was only, I think, 6 or 7 when she had left. Then what happened next?
What else did he ask you?
Oh, he asked me a lot of questions about home and about school. I told him I didn't get back.
Did he ask you if you could read?
Yes, oh, sure, I could read. I told him I had lots of books. There's something in Sunday's paper about children reading in New York. They're supposed to be improving. Oh, I could read. I could read now. It's 5 or 6, I think. I just loved it. So he did. He asked me if I could read. He wanted to know if I had any brothers or sisters here. No brothers here. Years later, Michael came. I don't have one alive. They're all, everyone gone. None of them lived over 60. And Mother came to see us. She came on a trip. She wanted to see the boy that was ordained a priest.
So then what happened after the man was asking you the questions?
Well, then I had to stand in the line. I said goodbye to the girls, young girls my own age that I got friendly. They were going on to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I waited there. I wondered, would anyone meet me? And there was a lady there in a suit, and I thought, she's too white in the face to be Irish, to have red cheeks from the land. That's not my sister. So a man, a tall, blonde fellow, carrying a briefcase, came and stood next to her. And whatever she said to him, this is what he did. He made a horn like, and he called through it, "What's your last name?" And I called to him, "Ann Sexton." And he had a big smile, and he said, "This is your sister, and I'm your brother-in-law." Oh, and I was happy to see them. And then they brought me on a subway, and I was thrilled to go under the ground and have a train to go on. And I wanted to know, would that go all the way to the house? And they said, no, it won't go all the way, but we get a bus that runs near the house. So they brought me to the house. And the next day, my brother-in-law was very ill. He was in the war, and he had come out of the war in very poor health. So my sister called a doctor, and she gave me the prescription. And she told me to go to the drugstore. She had forgotten that you don't say drugstore in Ireland. I went out looking for option, and I couldn't find prescription. I went about 10 blocks, and I couldn't find it. And I went about 10 blocks, and I couldn't find any. So I met a man, and I said to him, could you tell me where I can have this filled? I held my hand. He said, are you just out of school? I said, no, I'm not. I just came from Ireland yesterday. And he said, well, you passed about 20 pharmacies. You're calling the pharmacy. He said, for to get here. So you go in on the next corner, and there's one there that'll fill it for you. Well, when I got back, I had it filled. My sister was nearly out of her mind looking for me in the street. But she ought to have known better than to send me for anything like that. But
where was your sister living?
216 Putnam Avenue, Brooklyn.
Do you remember the address?
Yeah, isn't that funny? And other things I've forgotten. No, because, see, I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't be lost again, that I'd know where I'd go.
What were your first impressions of seeing New York when you first came off of Ellis Island?
Well, because I looked at so many pictures of it, you know, home in Ireland. And Margaret would always send me a card with another picture of it, you know. I'd see the museum, or I'd see something. To see that, almost felt as though I'd seen it before. Only I can't tell them all. I had experiences, you know, mm-hmm. that I forget.
Did you like the first subway ride that you took?
Oh, that was wonderful. That was really good. It's much nicer then than it is today. I never think of being afraid. I was thrilled when I'd go on it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of horrible things happening like now. I wasn't afraid when I go out. I loved to go to a dance. Yeah.
And your sister had a job ready for you when you came?
Yeah, she had that job ready for me when I came. But of course she had to break me in, you know. I wasn't too hard, though. I'd obey and I'd remember. And I wore a white uniform, so that wasn't a headache either.
How did she have to break you in? What did she have to teach you?
Well, she taught me how to handle the children, how to talk to them. And if I wanted to get, they had lots of books that I could read little stories to them. And of course, I loved that, you know. And I take them to the park. But there was some man distance from us that I think came. I heard it after I left. It watched out, you know, for them. She knew all of them. She knew every one of them, of the five brothers. She knew them all. That one was David, the one that's alive, it's with the banks.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that you were?
That was the one, yeah, at that time. I knew them all eventually, meet them coming and going, you know. I wasn't impressed.
So how soon after you got here did you start to work?
Within 2 weeks. You don't want to hear anything till you be here.
Yes. Oh, yes, please.
You do?
Yeah. I'd love to know how it felt just to
Well, I wanted to go to school to take something or other. Mm-hmm. So what I did take... What do you think I took?
Something to do with reading.
No, I wish it was. Huh? That was my dream.
What you wanted to do. Yeah.
No, I took up beauty culture. Oh. And after I got the diploma, I hated it. I tore it in half.
No. Why? Why did you dislike
it? Well, you see, I had to worry about getting a room. and paying for that room, well, I would be taking this up, you see. But I went to a beautiful store, but this is interesting, I'm going to tell you. I saw an ad in the paper, an agency. It was for manicurists. And I went to this man that had this agency, and he talked to me, and girls came in there, and he'd hand them an address to go to. But he didn't give it to me, and I said, how come you don't give me an address? He said, I'm going to tell you, although I run the place, you don't belong. You're not a manicurist at all, and you would never understand the men they'd meet in there. I said, why? He said, no, they're not. Are they black? He said, no, they're not black. But I'm going to try. He said, although I have nothing to do with the beauty parlors. So he gave me the address for Mademoiselle Reef on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. And it was a beautiful shop, and she was very nice. And I went to work there. But I found out that Abraham and Strauss, I went shopping for dresses. As soon as I got money, I bought pretty clothes. And I went to Abraham Strauss. So this day, I thought, I'll try and see if I get to work there. You'll laugh what I did. I didn't know anything but employment, like for beauty parlors, where I would go, especially a department store. So I went up to the desk, and I asked her, was she the manager? And she said, yes. And I said, would you like an expert to work here? I never forgot this. Well, she laughed, and she said, well, you're down at the employment agency. You mean, I said, you have an employment? Oh, sure, she said, on the second floor. And that's where you should have gone. But I'm going to give you the job on the reference you just gave me. So I went with Abraham and Strauss, and I was with them a couple of years and liked it very much. And one morning I was going, I would have to get in a gorgeous outfit. I got a blue coat with a great big black fur on it and the most gorgeous little fuchsia-colored hat. And it was $15 just for my hat. But I loved clothes. And I was coming into work, and one of the girls walking with me said, there's a man calling you. I said, calling me? I don't know. It's Mr. Strauss. So I went, and he said, what's your name? And I said, Ann Sexton. And he said, well, come to my office. I want to talk to you. And I went to his office, and he said, you work in the beauty parlor? I said, yes. Well, he said, from now on, you're going to be my model. And I modeled all their clothes from then on. Yeah. Oh, I had lots of strange experiences, more than that. When I was left a widow, I didn't know in the name of God what to do. And I thought if I could study something, take something at night that I could do at home in the house. You know, then I could raise my children and stay with them. So I took a course, and the woman across the hall, who was very kind, watched at night. I took a course in one part of the company was cosmetics. The other is the one I took. It was medical, fit for medical garments. And I started the business in my own house. I'd make $10 on any of these garments I could sell. And at that time, that was a lot of money. Oh, that was a lot of money at that time. Well, I got the children through school, and Kevin worked very hard to get through college and graduated their valedictorian. And Pat did the same. And they went to convent school, the two girls. So I began to think my job was done. But when I went to the company and told them now I could work, you know, all kind, whatever hours I'd have, I worked for 6 months with the company. And the vice president sent for me, and he told me he had promoted me to regional, and I'd be traveling from now on. So I used to go to Kennedy Airport every morning, and I had the West Coast, I had Chicago, and I had Lafayette and Gary, Indiana, and I had Ottumwa in Iowa. These are all distributors. And now at that time, salary wasn't big, but all the the commission I got was wonderful. 40% at that time was great. And then I had, oh, you only heard a couple. I had Baltimore, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. I had, in the South, Savannah, Georgia. And I had Wheeling, West Virginia, North and South Carolina.
You really got around.
I had Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Erie, Pennsylvania. But one time, I was in the West, and I called up Pat. And I said, Pat, I'm going to take this weekend. Well, I mean, I'm finished Friday night. But if the distributor gives me Friday, even to get through at 1 o'clock there. So they did. They gave me the time. The distributor in Chicago was liked me a lot. And I went to Pat's. And she said, Mother, you look so tired. She said, this traveling. Oh, I said, I love the traveling. And the distributors have been so nice to me. But you figure, only getting to Greg Grammar School, you know.
Mm.
Well, I ran into a problem with that. So I stayed Friday afternoon, and then Saturday, Pat went shopping, and she bought me all fall outfits. She's done this with me all the time. So I was thrilled to get them. But Sunday when they took me to dinner, on the way home, I started worrying about the company. And I got home, the phone was ringing like mad, and it was Tom. He said, the company's looking for you. I said, what do they want? He said, well, they want you in Erie, Pennsylvania by Monday afternoon for a meeting. So I said, I can make it, although it was a trip, you know.
Mm.
I had to leave Denver, 4 hours wait there, and I had to get a plane from Washington, D.C., get teary. And in the middle of the meeting, I got a New York call to tell me the woman in Savannah, Georgia, distributor, had a lot of problems. I'd better get there. I said, it'll be a night flight. It's the only one I'll get now. So I made the night flight and got to Savannah, Georgia. But I don't think this part of it is this necessary?
Well, take me back a little bit. Before you were so well established and had such an established job, do you remember the period you had mentioned before that you were, people called you a greenhorn? That period where you're just getting acclimated to life in Brooklyn and in New York?
Well, of course, the life in Brooklyn made me first step sure of myself. Mm-hmm. That I modeled these beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I did get in once in a while at night to school to try and take up something. But when I got on that trip, this is the reason I wanted to tell you this, to visit Pat. I said to Pat, you know, I'm having a problem right now at math. I said, you know, I didn't even have math. I had just decimals and something very beginning of it all. I know what I'll do. So she said, well, these problems you have here now, Frank, can do this for you, but I say I don't have Frank all the time. So when I got into New York, I went to the vice president and I told him, I said, I love my job, I enjoy it very much, but I'm very bad in math. So he said, well, you know, I have two offers, the girls. He said, they're all good in math, but I would never put them on the road to do the job that you so far have been doing. He said, you brought the one company, and that was another company, he said, they could put in with us. So he said, I'm going to pick one of the best, and now you have a secretary, and your problems with math will be over. So I could call her up, and I had a problem. I look back at it now, and I say, God, I don't know how I ever got that job, unless it was prayer. But the children were out of my, the worries I had to get them, you know, raised was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a success too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd get along. Pat had helped Kevin, he had to study. She'd help him every night. They got along wonderful. They were always afraid they'd lose me because the way the father went, you know.
When did you become a citizen?
Oh, I was here quite a while. I was here quite a while. I didn't realize that it was terribly important. But I had no questions or problems, and I went to get it. I got it easily. But I was then maybe my late 24, 25, and I got it. Yeah, that was a good question.
And when you first arrived, were you sorry you had come, or were you excited about what life was like here?
No, I was terribly, terribly interested in things. I love department stores. I like that escalator. And I like to look at everything, the quality of everything, the styles, everything. Mm-hmm. I still love pretty clothes. Tom could tell you that. If you give me some money and let me go, he knows what I'd buy. But I'm telling you something sad right now. My car is in there, and I haven't been able, not allowed by the doctor yet, to drive it. Some of the men asked me, well, this one comes here to take to Mass, Tom and I, on Sunday. And that's very nice. But as I said before, the people are very kind here. But I have something about driving that no man wants to see. No man wants to see or ever will admit that a woman is a good driver. But he won't talk once I give him this. Can I show it to you?
Yeah, just as soon as we're finished with this, because you're still tied up here.
I'm playing with this. I'll miss this.
Yeah. I think I've asked you everything I need to, but I would love to hear one of your poems, if you wouldn't mind reading.
Well, I don't mind reading it at all. Memories of Erin's Isle. Marchers play, green banners wave, and marchers play, year after year on this memorable day. I ponder, memories awaken like a visual ray. The ethereal beauty of Killarney, lakes look crystal and the air is clear, rivers flow more gently here. Visit the shrines that dot this land, see the round towers and castles where once reigned the grand. See the purple heather that covers the peat. This ancient fuel gives a fragrant heat. Watch the glorious sunset behind the hill, or take a walk by that old water mill. The sky here has a vivid hue. You never saw such shades of blue. Shamrocks form a carpet of green, wild flowers with a depth of color you've never seen. Hedges cut with an artist's skill, your soul is soothed by the nightingale's trill. Worries and cares seem far away, as you look forward to the joy of each new day. Thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful isle. You surely helped her through many a trial. Yeah, about Ireland.
That's really beautiful.
Well, it's a description of what you see.
Yeah,
I hope sometime you might see it.
Yeah. Have you visited often?
5 times and went back. But that's not enough, to go again, but I doubt it.
Were you ever tempted to stay in Ireland?
Oh, how could I, with the children and grandchildren here? If I didn't have them, I'd stay. I'd buy a little cottage down by the stream, and maybe I could fulfill a dream. All day long, Tom hears poems. Everything that he says, he always tells me he's lucky he got me, but I'm the one that's lucky. Mm. Oh, yeah. And he had a terrific war record and hid it all. Oh, I was several years married to him, and I opened a drawer one day, and when I found, oh, bless us, he has so many ribbons and so many stars that he won, but he never wants to talk about it at all. Mm. No, it's not of interest. Are you married to American boys?
I'm married to an Englishman.
You are? Mm-hmm. I see. Oh, they're good and bad there too, you know. No, I have a lot to see. My uncles went in business over there. Butter and egg business. Yeah. Well, this is here.
Okay, I think I've asked you everything I need to, unless there's just anything else you want to add.
No, I don't really think. I'll show you what I paint, but they're nothing special.
Okay, and your roses.
Am
I see
the
roses out back.
Oh, the roses are there as you come over the side of the door.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Oh, honey, it was such a joy.
And that is the end of side two and the end of interview. That is the end of side two. Mrs. Anna Walsh. View number 200 with Mrs. Anna Walsh. View number 200 with Mrs. Anna Walsh.